Hey, Magic Makers. I today had the opportunity to talk to Miss Rachel Luna. She is the woman that really gave me the push into the ring to get this podcast up and off of the ground. Today was a conversation went all over the place, which is really good. I've known Rachel for a really long time, so we are, you know, we could talk about so many different things. I could talk to that woman for hours on end. We talked about faith. We talked about confidence. We talked about belief, you know, the things that hopped out for me that she said. We talked about consistency and time. And how do we make quantum leaps in the areas of our life that we want to talk about? And for so many people, it's that consistency of time that really trips them up, that keeps them caught up in this loop that they keep repeating because, you know, one, they're afraid they're wasting the time, or they're afraid that if they are consistent, they're not going to get what they want or keep what they want, right? We talked about how so many of us ignore the signs of our health, and maybe it might turn into something bigger. And we just keep, you know, putting it off and putting it off and putting it off until someday. So I don't want to give away too much because we talked about so many things. We talked about journaling, and we all know that I'm a huge journaler, and we talked about her awesome program, Faith Activated. I'm going to put those links in the show notes, but I just want to thank you guys so much for just coming on the journey with me. And Rachel just has, like, she can take things just in a nice, awesome, deep level that an approachable level that I absolutely love and appreciate it. So I hope you love and appreciate her as much as I do. And I'd love for you to screenshot this and let me know. Tag both Rachel and myself in the social and let us know what was one of your biggest takeaways from today's episode. All right, ladies, enjoy.
Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, Magic Makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show.
All right. I'm not going to start with a bio here because this lady is just off the charts fantastic. And once you listen to this podcast, you're going to be like, I need to know this woman even better. About 6 years ago, I met Rachel at a mastermind and I didn't even know her. She was this pink-haired girl sitting in the corner, copiously taking notes. And this woman was talking about how she wanted to create this program and all the things she wanted to do and all her fears and why she couldn't do it. And this 4 feet nothing girl stands up and she's like, girl, you got a fire and you better go for it. You better do what you are here on this earth to do. And I'm like, who is this woman? And I got to know more about her. Like, she just stood up and just said, you got to do you, boo. And from that moment on, I have been enamored with her. And I had to have her on the show because one, of that. Two, she was a girl who pushed me into the ring and said, do this damn podcast. You've been talking about it for too long. So welcome to the show, Miss Rachel Luna.
Thank you so much. We may have cut out for just a moment because my mom is an expert at calling me anytime. You know, remember,
yes,
kids?
Yes.
You remember, like, it, nothing has changed with my mom. God bless her soul, Carmen Santini. She just wants to always be part of whatever conversation I'm having with cool people. It's what I've come to the conclusion of. So I apologize for that. It's so lovely to be here. What mastermind was that?
Jenna Faith's mastermind. We were in when you still lived in California.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my God. That was forever ago.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, shout out to Jenna Faith. Okay. Well, now I remember. Yes. That was a great weekend. Thank you for having me here. I am honored to be here. I'm so excited because I remember when you were talking about this podcast and talking about it and talking about it. And listen, can I just be honest?
Go for it. I love honesty. That's why you're here.
I took it as a personal failure that you were dragging your feet on launching this podcast. And then I had to remind myself, and I think that this is a really important lesson for all of us, every single person, that other people's ability or inability to take action, to follow through, to get results are not our responsibility. And I had to set myself free. But for a minute there, I was holding it on as like, maybe I'm not as good of a coach as I think I am. Maybe I'm not giving her enough resources. Maybe this, maybe that. And I was creating all these false narratives. And one day I just had to check myself because I recognized that I was starting to measure my worth on the results that my clients were getting or not getting. And that was creating havoc in my life, in my health, in my business, in my finances, because I was starting to not show up to sell. I was like not putting my offers out there because I was like, I can't bring anybody else in until I've been a good stewardess and a good shepherd to the people that I have now. And then I just had to sit and take accountability for what I was providing, what I wasn't providing, what I had promised, what I had not promised, and make adjustments there. And ultimately, you took the action that you desired to take when you were aligned to do so.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to say when you felt ready, because I don't believe that we should be waiting until we're ready. Because if I were waiting till I was ready to be a mom, I would not have the two beautiful daughters that I have. Heck, these girls are 11 and about to be 13, and I'm still not ready.
Oh my God, no, they're not that old.
Yeah, they are. They are. And I'm not ready. You know, this morning I woke up and I thought, ugh, I'm so not ready to, who let me be a mom? I'm not ready to even deal with them today and to be accountable to them today. And yet here they are and we're all thriving.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love that because, you know, that holding yourself accountable to other people's dreams, that can come across so many different parts of your life. You know, you just talked about motherhood. You could also talk about parents. You could talk about being a teacher. You could be, there are other things that someone tells you their dream and you take it on as yourself. They never told you to take it on, but for some reason, I think as givers, I think also as you're, if you're a natural coach, you're a natural teacher, that's your inclination that like, you know, you want to grab that person by the hand and run up the hill with them. And if they're like dragging behind, you're going to drag them with you.
You know what? And here's the other thing, because there's a flip side to that, right? Because there's also the ego.
Right.
I had to also be very careful that when someone did take action or when they did get a result after being in one of my programs or working with me, that I didn't then say, well, that was me. That was my work. That's a reflection of what I offer. No, that was all them.
Right.
I just provided a space. I provided a container. I gave a couple of resources. I did my part in supporting them, but everything that my clients, my students achieve is their win. It's their accomplishment. And, you know, occasionally I do feel that proud. Not occasionally. I always feel proud.
Right.
When my ladies go out there and do big things. And I feel like, you know, proud mama, sister, aunt, whatever, however they want to associate with me, best friend. And also, I really remind myself, do not take credit for their hard work. Do not put that under your belt and allow your ego to think that you did that, because you didn't, they did.
Right. But I think the one thing I could say about you is that you create the safe space. You create the, you know, okay, Kim, what is your, you know, big dream? And you create the space that says, it's okay to have that big dream. You know, it's okay to like dream bigger, you know, how, and start to think how to break it down. Like, how can I take this huge thing that I want to do? And instead of me being overwhelmed and crushed by how big this dream is, say, all right, Kim, so it's Monday. What can you do today?
I literally wrote in my journal this morning, people talk about believing bigger, dreaming bigger, having a bigger vision. but what are the practical steps to executing and living bigger? And I just thought that that was so interesting that you're bringing this up. And by the way, when I talk about people, when I say people talk about believing bigger, dreaming bigger, that's not a dig.
No.
I love those people. We need those people that tell us, hey, go dream bigger. Yeah. Have a big dream. Allow yourself. And also, I want to know more about, so what, I want to have more conversations about now that you have this bigger dream, now what?
Yes.
What's the first step? And that is the better question to ask than how do I achieve this big dream?
Right.
Because that when you ask how, it's too big. And yeah. There's too many ways that you could do it. And there are also too many unknown variables. Mm. But when you ask yourself, well, what's the first thing I can do today? And just take action on that.
Yeah. And because it's a lot of times if I have this big dream, you know, for most of the stuff I talk about weight loss. So I might be like, I want to lose 100 pounds. That's a lot of weight. And yeah. that thought can overwhelm me. But if I just said, today's Monday, what's one thing you could do? And you can be like, well, I can go for a walk. Great. That feels easy. That feels doable. So now you're like, oh, so I can walk my way to 100 pounds. I can walk. And it gives you the confidence.
It's interesting because you say that. And one of my gifts that can sometimes be a major hindrance is that I am able to see all the sides of all the sides of the story. And as you said that, I know that there's someone listening who is like, yes, that's me. I want to lose, 10, 20, 50, 100 pounds. And yes, I could take a walk, but a walk does not sound like it's going to make a dent.
Yes.
And no, I don't believe that I can walk my way to 100 pounds. And so if that's you listening right now, and you can replace the 100 pounds with whatever your big goal is. And we're talking about the smallest first step action that you can take. I would encourage you to look at it as not, this is the one thing that's going to get me there. Rather, like, this is a piece.
Yes.
This is a part of the journey. This is that small incremental step. You know, people talk a lot about quantum leaps. Have you heard people talk about quantum leaps? And I remember thinking that my interpretation of a quantum leap was that one day you were here and the next day you woke up and it was this massive jump, right?
Yes.
Maybe today I only made $5 in my business and I woke up tomorrow and now I made $50,000 or even $5,000, right? Even that would be a quantum leap. And I began to study what quantum leap actually meant and what is actually required scientifically, by the way. You could do your own research. Don't just take my word. But what is required for a quantum leap to occur is consistency and time.
Yes.
There has to be a space of time in between the leap. And people don't seem to understand that.
No. So
if you're breaking it down and you're on this mission to 100 pounds, the walk around the block is that first molecule, is that first pendulum swing of energy, if you will. Mm. The first bang of energy required for you to make the quantum leap. And what's coming in between you and the quantum leap is the time and the consistency.
And the two things you just talked about, consistency and time, are the two things that most people don't want to give themselves.
Yeah. Well, because they're afraid of, number one, not having enough time. Number two, wasting time, losing time, mismanaging time. And then with the consistency piece, there's the fear that I'm going to be consistent and I'm not going to get the results I want anyway, or I'm going to be consistent, I'm going to get the result, and then I'm not going to be able to
keep it. Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, that leads into like one of the reasons why I, you know, love listening to, well, first of all, you got to listen to her podcast, Permission to Offend. Go back. She's been doing a podcast, I don't know, for 6 or 7 years. So you're probably going to be a big binger on all of her episodes, but go back because consistency and time requires faith. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to Rachel, because we all lose faith and that's just a natural part of being a human, but it's like, how do we get back our faith and go back into the get into the rhythm of what we want, right? We've declared this big dream, you know, life happens, you know, curveballs are thrown at us, just so many things just kind of, you feel like conspire against you to beat you down. Mm-hmm. And you're like, how do I keep my faith?
Yeah. How do you keep your faith? I think it's first recognizing that faith is not something to keep. It is something to be.
Ooh.
Right. So you just have to be in faith. You have to embody it.
Yeah.
Just like I'm Puerto Rican. I can't hold on to being Puerto Rican. I can't keep the Puerto Rican. I just am Puerto Rican. So that's like a deeper way to look at it. But let's go practical because I want to give you some tangible steps. So say, for example, you feel like the faith is gone. You've lost it. You've lost all. Really, faith is the belief in what we do not see. So we don't really lose it unless we stop believing in the thing that we do not see. What people really mean when they're saying like, I've lost my faith is that they've lost their hope.
Yes.
Okay? So in order for you to truly lose your faith, you have to stop believing completely. So first of all, ask yourself, do I still believe in the possibility? Do I still believe in the thing that I have not yet seen? Do I believe in my dream? Do I believe in my vision? Do I believe in my ability to do X, Y, and Z? If you actually still do believe, if your thought is like, I do believe it's possible. I do believe I'm worthy. But your feeling is like, but I don't feel like it's going to happen. That's a lack and loss of hope.
Yes. I wrote that down. I'm like, health and hope and faith are confused.
Yeah. Oftentimes.
Right. Because a lot of times you don't have the faith. You hope it's going to happen.
Right. You don't have the belief. You have the hope.
Right.
So I love hope because I think that hope is the thing that gets us out of the dark hole.
Yep.
Okay, so if you imagine for a second, you're stuck in a dark hole. Hope is the rope that someone pulls you down, right? Faith is the belief that if I hold on to this hope, I'm going to be pulled out of this hole. So now we've got the hope. How do we then actually get back into a place of faith where we can believe that this thing is for us, that this thing is ordained and anointed for us? And that comes back to, what do I believe about this? What am I making it mean?
Yes.
About me. If we go back to the example of the 100 pounds again, right? Do I have the faith in myself to be consistent? Well, I hope I'm consistent.
Right.
But do I believe I actually can be consistent? No, I don't believe that because all the evidence in my life stacks up to I'm not a consistent person.
Right.
And every time I am consistent, I fall off the wagon. So now let's examine, what does being consistent mean to me? What is my definition of a consistent person? And here we begin to dismantle the limiting beliefs and negative automatic thoughts and harmful storylines. Because if your belief that a consistent person never slacks off, if your belief that a consistent person never misses a day, well, then you're trying to live up to some pretty almost impossible to fill expectations. But if you can say, oh, that's what I've been believing, but my new belief that I want to bring into this experience is I am a consistent person. And by consistent, I mean, I keep my promise to myself. I do what I say I'm going to do. And the only reason I don't do the things I say I'm going to do are because I've been led by God to change course.
Right.
Or as an act of protection or preservation, right? Sometimes, and I'm going to keep using the weight loss thing because I think it's a great example, but sometimes people will push it so hard, right? I got to walk these 100 pounds off. I'm injured, but I'm still going to walk.
Right.
And it's like, well, wait a second. Now you have a hairline fracture. Sit your butt down, go grab some weights and sit on the couch and work on your upper body strength from the couch. Stop pushing yourself to go around the block, right? So maybe being consistent means that if for whatever reason I can't keep my word and do the thing that I said, I am going to do something that is equally supportive to me, my health, my wealth, happiness, my spiritual, emotional well-being.
And what you just said, I think was really powerful, that it's okay to change course.
So okay.
I think so many people, you know, like they feel like if we were driving to California and we get in the car, we punch in the GPS and it tells us to take these highways. At some point, there's going to be road work or a storm or a flat tire and something's going to cause us to get off course. And it does. It's not a sign. It's the wrong course. It's a sign that you need to do something different right now.
Yeah. And what if it's not a sign at all? What if it's just an opportunity?
Right. And I think that's a lot of people look at, because you as you rattled off, like we talk about consistency and then we put these like lofty expectations of what we're able to do. And we look at a course change as a sign, like, see, wasn't supposed to lose this weight. See, wasn't supposed to have this business. See, wasn't supposed to have kids. Like, and those, some for some people, that's just the one thing they need to just shut it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that when you let that be the thing, I look at it from a couple of perspectives, actually. I remember hearing this from somewhere else. So this is not a Rachel Luna original, but it's almost like sometimes God will throw a wrench in the plans just to see if you really want those plans. It's almost like a measure and a test of your will and yes. your desire and your commitment to the things that you said you wanted. Because the reality is that sometimes we say we want something and we get it and we're really close, but there's something waiting on the other side that's even bigger. And if we can't handle the responsibility here, how could you then handle the responsibility of the bigger next level thing?
It's funny that you say that, because I've heard that before, that it's, you know, the universe, God, faith will throw a test at you just to see, you ask for this, I'm ready to give it to you, but I just want to make sure it's what you told me you wanted.
Right.
And if you, like, you know, let's imagine it's a Frisbee. If I catch the Frisbee, they're like, all right, you're ready. I'm going to open the gates.
And then all hell breaks loose.
Right. So, and, you know, and the more, when I think about it logically, like when I'm not in that space, you're like, you know what? I should be tested. I should be tested to see if I'm ready for that level.
Well, isn't that what life is? Isn't it one test after another?
Yeah.
If you think about it, think about how many times you've learned a lesson, or let me reframe. Think about how many times you've taken the same test and you've been given the answer and then you still repeat that same pattern, right?
Yes.
We continue to make the same mistakes. And why? Because we have consciously learned, but we have not adopted the lesson.
Yeah.
So you didn't really learn it. You got to know it. You got exposure to the lesson, but you didn't really learn it. Because if you were learning and embodying, you wouldn't keep making the same mistake.
Right. Yeah. Because I think, you know, if we stay on weight loss, I think about how many people have gone back to the same diet over and over and over again and still got the same results. But they feel like, well, I have the book. I should read it again. And maybe I missed a chapter. Maybe I missed a word. And it's like, no, it's time to throw that book out and move on to the next thing. There's another lesson for you to be learned.
Yes. And it's all taking us to that next level of alignment. And I believe all of it is always bringing us back to our truth. It's always a return to who we were supposed to be, before we were programmed by our caregivers, before we experienced pain and hurt in the world, before, you know, for lack of a better term, the sinful nature of humanity sort of, you know, left its residue on us.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? I'm going deeper than I had anticipated, but, you know, maybe there's somebody out there. These are just things that I'm examining more so recently, especially with everything that I've been through in the last 2 years. I'm approaching 2 years of anniversary of being diagnosed with breast cancer. Can you believe that?
Yeah. I it's so funny because I was like, you know, we're going to talk about confidence activated because we got to talk about that. You know?
Oh, yes.
You know, come on. We got to get some tickets going here. But I remember, so let's talk about that. So I remember here you are, you're in the, literally the middle of planning, like the biggest event you've ever done. And you feel a lump.
No, that's not how that happened.
Oh, did it happen before?
It happened after.
Oh, happened after the event.
So listen, I spend the entire year a stress ball of anger, jealousy, resentment, like every low energy vibration you can think of. And I didn't consciously know it at the time. Because why? I was so focused on external things that I was not taking care of my internal storehouse. And I think it's important that we acknowledge this.
Right. Absolutely. Because
we are in such pursuit for these worldly material things. And we are putting everything on the back burner. I had physical cues that there was something wrong in my body. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to a health coach, like a metabolic, do all the air type coach. And I said to her, I said, I know I need you. I know that there's inflammation in my body. Like I can feel it, but
I don't have time.
I don't have the time. And it was also $8,000. And I was like, I don't want to spend that money. I have this event, like $8,000 in event dollars is, you know,
that's lights, DJ.
Right. That's like five lights up for the stage. Okay. Right. Like, let's not talk about the expense of putting together an event. So I say to her, like, you know, I'll do it after my event. Everything I kept saying, I'll do it after. I'll do it when. And if there is anything right now for anybody listening, if there is something that you have continued to say, I'm going to do this after, I'll do this when, I would encourage you to just stop right now and ask yourself, why am I not doing this right now? This is a priority. This is something that needs your attention. I wish I had known that. And I wish I had listened to myself. So I put it off. Finally, it's the weekend of Confidence Activated. And I am walking into the ballroom in Atlanta, negative $30,000 on the event. Do you know what that feels like?
Your heart's like,
because here's the thing. If, first of all, I did not create the event as I just want to get all these people in the room and see what I can sell them. That was never my intention. My intention was I want to get all these incredible women, men, you know, however they identify, individuals, and give them and a weekend that they will never forget. Like, I just want this to be the most incredible thing. And then to have that little voice in my head, like, you owe $30,000. Where are you going to get this money? Right. So it was a lot. And I remember I looked at my husband and I said to him, I think it was like the night of the VIP, and we wanted to do like transportation, and they were trying to put us in these like tacky, it was not going to work. It was not VIP. And I looked at my husband and I said, I don't care. I don't care what it costs. We are get me a beautiful bus, a party bus, like don't put them in no stinky, janky Ubers, right? Like, it's not going to work. So it was like all this money. And I looked at my husband and I just said, look, this may work or this may not. I will figure out how to make the money on the back end. I don't want to think about it anymore.
Right.
If we need more appetizers, we're going to order more appetizers. If we need to pay more for this, we're going to pay more. And I, as soon as I just surrendered and focused on what I had set out to do, which was to create an incredible experience, everything fell into place. We did almost $100,000 in sales that day, which that weekend, which was more money than we had ever made in one small concentrated period of my business. Okay. Right. And, but even better than that, I share the money thing because I just want whoever, there's somebody listening who's really feeling frustrated with the amount of work and the investment that they're doing. And I just want you to know, like, as soon as you surrender that, it all comes back, right? It does. You just have to have that faith that we were talking about. It's just this belief, not hope. It is a belief. It is a knowing that as soon as I stop obsessing over this thing, it's just going to fall in line. As soon as I stop obsessing about how much money is in my bank and I start focusing on how I'm going to help these people and how I'm going to deliver and make them feel special and seen and heard and loved and make them feel in as they, as though they belong, right? That was my goal. Every single person had to be greeted. If someone was standing by themselves, my team needed to go over and ask them, like, do you, you know, are you okay? Can we introduce you to some people? And take into account that some people are introverted and they like being by themselves. And some people are just scared and they want to be in the community, but they don't know how to get in. And it was our job to like navigate these things. Okay, I'm going off topic. So let me bring it back. So everything is a high, Kim, right? Best weekend ever. 2 days later, I had this horrible back pain. I get this, I actually have it right now, this neck click thing here. And it was so bad that it was like in between into a place like where you can't even reach. So I'm massaging my back and my chest, trying to see if I can like sort of give myself
get it out. Right.
And all of a sudden, I touch my chest and I feel a lump that was not there the day before. And I say to my husband, oh my gosh, do you feel this? And I put his hand there. And as soon as I put his hand there, you would have thought that there was a grease fire on my chest because the way that he pulled his hand off of my skin so quick as if he had been burned, he said, what is that? I said, I don't know. So I'm asking you, do you feel it? Am I crazy? Right. I feel a lump. He's like, that's a lump. And he like right away, he went into like daddy bear or whatever.
Right.
Long story short, this lump turns out to be triple negative breast cancer, which is the most aggressive form of breast cancer that affects mostly Black and Latina women. And Black women disproportionately die from the disease than white women because of the racial disparity and inequity in our medical system.
Yeah.
And I'm bringing this to light because I think it's important that we all know this information so that number one, if you are a Black woman listening to this, the minute you feel a lump, you advocate for yourself like it is your full-time job. You demand diagnostics. You do not let them send you home with let's wait and see. Let's wait and see our
death sentence for some people.
Words. They're poisonous words. Okay. So you do not go home with, and that's not just for Black women, by the way. That's for all women.
Everybody. When they say wait and see, go for a second opinion. Like,
a third opinion.
Right. Wait and see means I'm going to see another doctor. Thank you.
Right. Right. And so, and also making sure that if you have been diagnosed, that you continue to get your follow-up scans. And I know that the thought is like, but I can't afford it. I promise you the money for your bills that that can be figured out afterwards.
Right.
You go get the care that you need because I have seen too many people lose their life to this disease because they waited and they were waiting to see, and then they were not getting the scans. So all that to say, I was like a pit bull, a little, like I had a bone in my mouth and I was not letting it go. When the first doctor I saw told me to let's wait and see, I said, sir, you're crazy if you think I'm going to wait and see.
Yeah.
send me for a diagnostic immediately, if not sooner.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's what happened. It was the biggest crash from the highest mountaintop is what it felt.
But you know, I want to go back because what you said was how I feel a lot of women are. You're prepping for something for work. Ah, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to get to it. I'm going to get to it. You know, it's a busy season for like, I don't know. I have women who listen to this, their kids are in like crazy sports things. And we always will take our health, even though our health is like banging on the door.
Yeah.
I need in. We'll just say, I'll get to it. And, you know, we're surprised when it is something huge.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, you know, it's just stress and make sure you meditate. You're like, when it turns out to be this big medical thing that your body has been like kind of whispering to you, like, Hey girl, slow down. Yeah. So we need to focus in on stress. Is it normal? Like, you know, it's not just, that's just how life is. I can manage it. No, you're not managing it. There's a silent scream that's happening in your body, and it can manifest in something, you know, horrible, or it could just always, you know, next thing you know, you might have a heart attack. I don't know what it is, but it's something
horrible too. But okay, I'd like to jump in for a second, if I may, because sure. I want to make sure that we bring out a couple of data points. Number one is that almost every person has circulating cancer stem cells.
Yes.
They're microscopic cells that you cannot barely even see, and they're just floating around your body. In a healthy body, your white blood cells will recognize it and devour them, or something in your system will create apoptosis, which is the suicide of cancer cells, if you will. Mm. So for most healthy individuals, nothing will ever happen. Your body will get to it, clean house, if you will. But if you are stressed, you're not sleeping well, you're eating tons of sugar, tons of fat, there's no diet and exercise, you have had a traumatic experience, you have had some sort of emotional trauma, okay? Fun fact is that I have no genetic markers for cancer. There's no history of cancer in my family. There's no history of breast cancer. And I also do not carry any of the identifiable cancer genes, like the BRCAs, the whatever.
Huh.
None of them.
Interesting.
My theory and hypothesis is, you might hear my husband and, my husband and my daughter are coming in right now and she does not look happy. Okay, well, that's on them.
They'll catch up later.
Yeah, we'll catch up later. But so I don't know what I was saying. I'm sorry. They totally distracted me.
You talked about you didn't have any of the.
I didn't have any of the things. So my hypothesis is that it's either environmental, right? Mm. So all the toxins, the pesticides, and emotional trauma. And when I looked back, I actually had the perfect storm because remember, I had this whole year of stress, poor eating. I was eating cupcakes for breakfast, cupcakes and coffee, and that's what I was subsisting on.
Mm.
And then I wasn't working out. I wasn't sleeping well. And I also had several emotional traumas in the 2 years leading up to it, finding out that my brother had been incarcerated for heinous crimes, okay? Allegations of murder, and all of this happened, right? So I had to not just detoxify my body and sort of get like a new homeostasis.
Right.
So I'm all organic. I'm vegan. I take all the supplements. I do coffee enemas. I fresh press organic juices every single day. Not only did I have to do the physical, but then I had to do the emotional healing. Breast cancer, if you look at the emotional causes of breast cancer, trauma and mommy relationships, mommy issues are typically at the forefront of breast cancer diagnosis. So then I had to see like, well, do I have resentment towards my biological mother? Do I have resentment towards my mom that raised me? And do all of that. Then I had to go in the spiritual, like, God, what are you saying? What do we need? Where are the iniquities in me? So I had to approach it from every single direction. And I used to scoff when I would hear people talk about holistic. I'd roll my eyes like, oh, you hippie dippies.
Right, right.
Listen, yeah. I apologize.
Yes.
I repent.
Yeah. It's funny because it's like we discount so many things.
Mm-hmm.
We discount that, you know, I don't need, like, oh, well, my family and I, we just don't get along. And you discount that. And you don't think that that has some impact at all on what's going on inside your body.
Yeah.
Or that, or maybe you're in a strenuous relationship with a loved one or your life partner or your kids. And you just kind of discount all of that. Or work's always going to be stressed. And you're just like, no, like if there's a piece of your life that's not working, it's throwing something out of sync.
Yeah. And it's interesting as well, because we will discount it, but the body keeps score. And there's
yes.
a wonderful book called The Body Keeps Score. And how one of the things that I really try to do is kind of at least once a week check in and see like, okay, where am I holding resentment? Who am I annoyed at that I need to forgive? Like, what am I blaming myself for? Where am I guilting myself? Where am I shaming myself? Like, I just gotta like let it out
right.
and forgive. And so I'm asking God for forgiveness. I'm asking myself for forgiveness. I'm extending forgiveness and grace. And then I'm just like checking in with my body. Like, where am I holding the tension? And the other thing that I've taken time to look up is like, what is the emotional connection between pain wherever? So like, what's the emotional connection between pain in my neck? What's the emotional connection? And like, now I know this pain right here, this is, I'm sleeping wrong and I need a good pillow.
Right.
but the other day I had something going on with my sternum. There's like a little, have you ever touched right here on your
yeah,
side?
Yeah.
And there's like a little soft thing, right?
Yeah.
But that thing was hurting me. And I was, and of course, like now I'm hypersensitive. So anytime anything hurts, I'm like, oh, cancer.
Right.
You better don't be bad. You
know? Right.
And so I started to look and I learned that there was an emotional correlation.
Hmm.
And it was like when you felt that you weren't connecting with your identity.
Huh.
And I was like, well, that's so interesting, because I was doing all this brand identity work. Business. And so I was feeling it there. So then I had to stop and like, okay, take care of myself. Like I'm a child and I just have to give myself love and nurture myself.
Yeah. And right there, like I've been on a podcast bender right now. And so yesterday's podcast was all about the self-care. And even if it's just, you know, the woman yesterday was like, even if it's just locking yourself in your car and crying for 5 minutes, she's
yeah,
like,
oh, that feels so good.
She's like, 5 minutes crying is still self-care. She's like, it's not getting yourself a manicure, pedicure. She's like, crying is self-care. It's 5 minutes in your car is self-care.
When I was in, I went to a hospital in Mexico for cancer healing, and there's a lot of detox involved. And there's something they call a healing reaction, where you might just start crying for no reason. And I was crying. I was like, I don't know why I'm crying, but I just feel it. And the doctor comes in, and my husband looks at the doctor like, I don't know what to do with her. And the doctor goes, oh, she's fine. Just let her cry. It's good. She's detoxing. Just let her cry. He said, let her cry all day if she wants. She's fine. And I felt so supported.
Right.
I didn't feel dismissed. I did not feel that the doctor was like, it's, you know.
He's like, I've seen it before. I'm going to see it again.
He wasn't dismissing me. He was like almost saying like, it's fine. Just let her cry. And so now with my children, even, although sometimes it does piss me off because they cry over some real stupid stuff, in my opinion. Right.
Right.
But then I have to put on my empathetic identity and be really compassionate and realize, well, they're kids and whatever this
right.
must be so overwhelming for her.
Right. You're like, when I was 11, that was probably a big deal for me.
You know, right. I don't remember, but
right.
I would imagine. You know, and so I, last night she was crying. I don't even know what she was crying about. And I just said, it's okay. You can sit there and cry for as long as you need to.
Yeah.
Your feelings. Go for it. Let me know when you're ready to talk. I'll be in my room. You know, just leave them. And then sometimes I'll say, do you need a hug? What do you need? Nothing? Okay. Well, if you need anything, I'm available.
Right.
And then I teach them, of course, it's your responsibility to tell me what you need because I'm not a mind reader.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's for all of us, by the way.
Adults, oh, God, yeah.
It's our responsibility to communicate our needs, wants, and desires. And it is unfair to the people in our lives for us to expect them to just know, well, he should know me by now. She should know what I want. Nobody's thinking about you as much as you're thinking about you.
Right. And, you know, there's so many random things that can set you off on down so many different rabbit holes.
Yeah.
And, you know, so this conversation can't go on anymore without us talking about journaling.
Oh, yes.
So I didn't start journaling until I want to say I was probably right around the time I met you. And I remember, you know, the first coach I worked with, she's like, you know, I just want you to sit down for 5 minutes and journal. She's like, I know you're going to think it's stupid. I know the resistance is going to be like, why is she making me sit here and write a piece of paper? She goes, write that down. anything. She's like, even if you have to literally set a timer and sit for 5 minutes, I want you to sit for 5 minutes and just anything that's popping in your head. She goes, just write it down. Even if it's like, this is stupid. And I was like, so for, I'd say the first 3 months, my journals were, this is stupid.
Yep.
I'm sitting here for 5 minutes. And it was kind of like, you know, when you're in grade school and like you wrote on the board, I will not talk during class, like 1,000 times. It felt like that. And now I'm like, oh, I didn't journal this morning. I feel so off. Like, I'm going to take 5 minutes right now and do it. And it's amazing to me how it's become a thing in my life that I resisted like nobody's business. And so Rachel, I was in your faith activated journaling and I wrote myself a note. I'm like, I got to go back to that.
Yeah, come back. What are you waiting for?
I don't know. I wrote myself, I'm going to go back to it. So she has faith activated journaling. And it was very loose, but guided, which I really needed.
Yes, it is very flexible. And I have structure for people that need structure. And I have like a take what you need for people that resist structure.
Yeah. Cause like some days I can just sit there and I'm like, boop, 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 boop. And some days I'm like, you got something for me?
Yeah.
So let's talk about journaling. How did you get into journaling?
Well, I was a diary keeper all my life. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm a writer. So that was part of, since I can remember, I was always writing things down. I was always sort of annotating my day. And I realized kind of early on that the thing with keeping a diary is that if someone read it, then you were exposed. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really like that, but I did like having a space to process and to vent and to sort of like re-experience the events of the days. Ironically, now I don't enjoy doing that. I don't like reliving the day. I don't like keeping a record of what's already happened. I much prefer to write down whatever I need to process through, excuse me, and then script in reality for myself. So in 2006 or so, that's when that book, The Secret, and the movie was out. Mm-hmm. It was like a huge thing, and I don't recommend it. Just because I think
I'm with you. I spun my wheels with The Secret because like they make it seem like all I have to do is say I want a house on the water and I just think about it all the time, and bada boom, bada bing, the house on the water appears.
There it is. Yeah, and there's more nuance to it, but it was a good, you know, entry level of like that's where I really understood like your thoughts are powerful. Mm. I don't understand why I didn't know that before, because the Bible says, so a man thinketh he is, like I should have known, but it never made sense to me. Okay. So I started to think about that. And I had just had this horrible breakup. My on again, off again boyfriend of 3 years turned out to be happily married. And I felt like, you know, the world had come out from under my feet. And I decided, okay, well, I was made for more than this. Like, I know God's got a plan. This ain't it. What is it that I want? And I started working with a coach, a life coach. who just started guiding me on like, make your bed every day, which I was like, why? I'm going to get back in it tonight. But I didn't realize then, but which I understand now, is that it's the habit.
Yeah. Right?
Making your bed is just a good habit. And then when you walk into that room, it creates an orderly environment. Mm. And so the more your environment is organized around you, you know, the less your brain has to process and look around to see where the danger is hiding. Ah. Because really, that's what's happening, right? If you walk into a room that's big and spacious and you can see everything, there's almost an ease. Mm-hmm. But if you walk into an environment that's cluttered, now you have to assess what could be lurking there to kill you.
Gotcha.
We don't understand the complexities that are happening in the subconscious mind.
True.
Okay, so long story short, I had heard about vision boards. And what I didn't like about vision boards was that I couldn't take it with me everywhere. Right. And I wasn't at the time I was still in the Marine Corps. So I wasn't in my room, you know, long enough. I was there to sleep.
Right.
But most of the day I was out and about doing things. And I thought, well, maybe I could have like a vision book. And it's a little book that I could carry with me because I always had a notebook with me in the Marine Corps. And at that time, they didn't have the smartphones where you could keep your wallpaper and there were no digital anything like that. So I started keeping this journal. And I remember it was a vision book and I was cutting out the pictures, but also journaling my desires as if they already were. I was scripting, right? So that was my method. And almost rapidly, things began changing. I lost the weight that I had been struggling to lose for so long. I became a half marathon runner, beating my personal records. And I had never been a good runner before, definitely not good enough to run a half marathon. Right. And here I was in Europe running the half marathon in Milan and, you know, doing all these things. And then I met my husband, which was a picture that I had cut out in my little vision book. And I started to realize, like, oh, there's something to this, right? Something, my dog wants to get out. Sorry if you hear her in the background. I was like, there's something to this. Like, this really works. And over the years, I learned the difference between manipulation and manifestation. And so I learned that I was manipulating a lot of things, yes, in my life, not in a negative, like deceitful way. Cause I think sometimes we hear the word manipulation and we think, oh, you know, conniving, sneaky. No.
Right.
In this sense, manipulation is just like, I only had the belief and the energy for a moment. So right. I made it happen, but I wasn't able to sustain. So that's the difference. And then the rest is history. I just kept doing it and honing in. And then I would work with clients and I'd give them journal stuff. And one day in December 2017, I was praying and I was spending time with God, and I began to pray in tongues, which really scared me, freaked me out, because I thought that anybody that prayed in, I thought people that prayed in tongues were crazy, just keeping it real.
Right.
And I remember praying and I was like, okay, this is weird. And I said, God, I need the translation. Mm. I need to know what I'm saying. I'm not okay with this. And it was interesting because when you pray in tongues, your body is doing things, but you actually can have conscious thoughts. You can think about like what I'm going to have for dinner while you're speaking in tongues. It's a very interesting dynamic. And so what ended up writing on my paper as I'm hearing was do a journaling program.
Yeah.
And I was like, who's going to pay for that? This is the dumbest idea, because I would not ever pay for journal prompts, right? And I was like, I would never pay for this. And I remember hearing like, you are not your ideal client.
Right.
And you would not pay for it because it comes not like, this is your gift, right? And now, you know, years later, like, no, I actually would pay for it if there was someone teaching a different way than I'm teaching it.
Right.
I want to learn different ways. And so that's how Faith Activated was born.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been part of the program, and it's literally, you know, it's not this big thing. It could take you 5 minutes. Like, some days you have 5 minutes. Sometimes you might have like 30 minutes, but it just asks you a question that maybe you've never even thought to ask yourself.
Yes. That I think is the real gift that I provide inside of Faith Activated, is that I'm asking questions that you probably haven't taken the time to ask. So you might have a really great journal practice and that you journal every single day, but the quality of the questions might be a little lackluster. And so if you have been journaling, but you're finding that you're not really producing a change in your waking life, it's an indication that although you have a good journal habit, your journal practice needs a little tune-up. And yeah. So that is the gift of not only that, but also having the community inside of Faith Activated and the coaching calls and, you know, getting to hang out with me multiple times a month.
Right. But it's also like that in the Facebook group, just seeing like, sometimes you're like, if you're kind of caught in a rut, you see what other people are doing and you see their practice and you're like, okay, these are some of the tweaks I can make to my practice.
Yes.
to kind of get it to be where I am in that place where I'm writing my future life out there.
Yeah.
So as I bring this to a close, the one thing we have to talk about is Compass Activated, the events.
The events.
I go to a lot of events and I want to say Conference Activated was absolutely fabulous. It was such a great event. You know, every speaker, you know, said something that, even if it was one thing, said something that you just were like, whoa, you know, like you had like an aha, you know, out of that speaker, and everyone had a different aha. But it was also, like you said, you know, it was very open and inviting. You can go to an event, it could be clicky. And you're just like, why did I come here? But everyone was like, oh, even if it wasn't your staff, like, oh, you're standing by yourself, come on over here and talk to us, and so on and so forth. So it was great from that. Great from, like, if you just didn't even know where you wanted to take the next step in your life, there was something there for you.
Yes, yes. And that was the intention. The intention was to make it a safe space. Just to be... What I wanted was that everyone felt like, yes, the money that I spent to come here
yes.
was worth it for me.
Mm-hmm.
This was a good investment. And I wanted each speaker to provide very practical takeaways that could be implemented. And so that even if you didn't go home and implement it right away, there was something that they said that would stick with you and that you could kind of go back into it a year later. Because sometimes, and I think this is a misconception that people have when they go to live events, they think like, I'm going to this event and everything is going to change and I'm going to be this completely different person. And that does not typically happen. Yes, you walk away changed and transformed because you've learned something new, but the habits and the practices, like, we can't do anything for you at home. Right. That's up to you. And so the wisdom is knowing that I'm not going to be able to apply everything I got this weekend right away, but rather let me pull one or two things that I can implement right away, put that into practice, and then go back to these notes and go back and continue to pull throughout the year.
Exactly.
From this.
Exactly. So when is it this year?
It is October 15th through the 17th, 2021, in Atlanta, Georgia, at the beautiful Whitley Hotel, same venue.
And this is what I love about Rachel. She thinks about all like the things that are non-event stuff. So she's like, I want it to be at a place that people can easily walk to get food or walk to do things. Where sometimes when, you know, we've all gone to those events and you're in the middle of flipping nowhere, that it costs you like $30 just to like go out to dinner in a cab.
Yeah.
And like the place is literally like, you go to the left, there's something, you go to the right, there's something. Like, there's always something, you know, really close by that you don't feel like you're trapped in the hotel for 3 days.
That was really important to me. As a matter of fact, I really looked at a bunch of different places. And even though this place is more expensive for me as the event producer, it just was better for the guest.
Yeah. It was definitely a, I enjoyed the air. It was just easy to get to from the airport and just stuff around that. Like, you can easily just walk and get stuff and not be like, oh, I got to get an Uber and then I got to do this and get an Uber back. But yeah, so I want to thank you so much for just being the gift in my life and just for you being you, right? Just the realness. You always, whenever I hear you speak, it makes me feel like, you know what? People just need to hear the truth, right? There's enough fluff out there. There's enough BS out there. People just need to hear the truth. And sometimes truth hurts. But yes, if it's said from a place of love, it has to be said. And I just want to thank you for bringing that into the world.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for being part of my world and for letting me support you, you know, across different, you know, the events and the programs. So I'd love to see you shine. And I'm so glad that this podcast is out in the world. So thank you, Kim.
Yes, we have done over 100 episodes this far.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knew?
I knew.
I was like, I gave myself 50. I'm like, I'm going to go to 50 and I'll see how I feel. And I soared past 50. So let's see if I got another 100 in me.
Let's see, you know, and you'll pivot when you're ready to pivot, and that'll be fine too.
Absolutely. So thank you so much, Rachel. Oh, where can people find you on the socials?
Yes, on the socials. I'm on Instagram at Girl Confident. And you can find me at rachelluna.biz. My podcast is Permission to Offend. And if you want to learn more about Confidence Activated, you can go to confidenceactivated.com.
And all of this will be in the show notes. And I highly, highly recommend you scroll your fingers over on Instagram and follow her. She's one, a lot of fun, but two, she provides a lot of really great, like in your face, like, holy crap, I should have been thinking about this information.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.